Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here with my trusted companion and a man who illuminates me every day, Dan Sheridan.
I illuminate you? What does that mean? I shine a flashlight on you in the dark?
You illuminate me. You light up my life.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you complete me or you had me at hello.
Yeah, both those things too. That too.
I got to start off the show with something. You'll like this.
Okay.
Yeah, you remember we talked last show about Psalm 116:15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints?
Yeah.
Yeah, here's Finney, Professor Finney from the 1800s. You ready? Here's what he says about it. God deems the death of his saints precious because their happiness is very dear to him. When they die, they enter at once into eternal rest. Death is to them the gateway to perfect blessedness.
That's
you have one of those
harp.
Buttons.
We need a heart.
Yeah. Did you hear that crap? It only goes to show you the more educated you are, probably the more stupid you are. The bigger the belfry, the more room for the bats. I'm telling you. That's crazy.
That is crap with a capital K. Ah, jeez. Yeah. Hey, listen, you know that verse about the sparrow? God knows when the sparrow falls. It's an epignosko, I think, is the word there. He knows. It's our knowledge. It's like he experiences it. He's there. The death of the sparrow is precious to him in the sense that life is valuable. Life is freighted with worth. And these Christians and these soldiers who raise the standard in his name, slaughtering people left and right, what value do they have on death? None.
We live in a society, too, and I believe this has to do a lot with our beliefs, this immortality of the soul nonsense. We love violence. Even in the Mosaic Law, when they hung somebody who deserved the death penalty, God says, don't leave that body on the all night. You take it down and bury it. He didn't want it on display. When they came across a bird's nest, they had to take the eggs and not the bird. They had to take the young one, not the mother. They had to value all of life. Even in the matter of their hunting, they couldn't leave the babies to defend on their own. They had this compassion. They were always reminded of the seriousness of life. If a body was found outside the limits of the city, the elders of the city had to come out and lay their hands on a heifer and beg God's forgiveness for this dead body because there was no murderer found. It always impressed upon them the value of life. But this whole idea of eternal conscious torment goes contrary to every principle of Scripture, and it is showing in our culture this love of death, this love of violence. And to me, it's all because of the Christian idea, which comes from a lot of pagan religions, of this afterlife nonsense.
That is amazing. What you're telling me is I'd never. I read that stuff, but I don't remember. It's been the law. What you're telling me is the Mosaic Law is more compassionate than the axioms inherent into Christian religion.
Exactly. It's interesting. If anyone touched the body of a dead person in the Old Testament, he had to leave God's camp. Why is that? Because that's where God lived, and God wants his people separate from death. His ultimate goal is to deliver everyone from death, and he gave that in picture form in the Old Testament. The mere contact with death defiled. God hates it, but we glamorize it. We write movies about it. I was telling Becky the other night, and God forgive me for this, but we were watching a show, and it just got so tired, all the killing and the fighting.
I know.
It's like, I felt defiled watching, and I'm like, to get enough of this killing. It's driving
me
crazy.
I hate it.
And that's the society. You know, I'll give you an illustration once. I remember about back in around 1998, 99, my wife and I used to go to a church meeting of the Plymouth Brethren. And on the way there, it was toward the city, there was a Hispanic movie store, a rental place.
Yeah.
And I remember looking. I couldn't read the language. It was a Spanish neighborhood or Mexican neighborhood, and everything was in Spanish. So all I did was look at the posters on the wall in the window of the movie place. Everything had a gun in it.
Oh, yeah.
Everything had a gun. And for the first time, I'm like, wait a minute. When you're not reading the language, you become callous to this.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about violence. It's all about death. We love it. Fascination with it.
Our culture is obsessed with it. And, you know, Halloween to me is one of the most disturbing American holidays. It's becoming more and more celebrated. Before, you put on these cute little outfits as a kid when I was a kid. My sister and I dressed as, you know, that couple from Laugh-In, you know, Ruth Buzzy was the old lady, and then there was Artie Johnson who played that old man, and she used to hit him over the head with the purse. Anyway, innocent little costumes, you'd go out and get your little candy. Now, this holiday has become more and more Satanized, and people celebrate it. I once saw a yard back in Ohio, and they had tombstones. Of course, everybody puts up the tombstones, and the bony arms coming out of the ground, and the ghouls hanging on and the skeleton. They had tombstones with their kids' names on them.
Oh.
It's like, what the hell is the matter with you? What is the matter with this culture? Why is this the celebration of death? I'm honestly asking you, do they not fear it? Do they not think, is the idea that the immortality of the soul taking hold of them, that they don't realize how damn scary death is, how permanent it is apart from crucifixion? It makes me think what you were saying yesterday, that this doctrine of the immortality of the soul makes you think, well, if you die, you just live again right away. So what difference does it make? Let's celebrate it. Let's have a party with tombstones and skeletons. What's up with that?
I agree. You know, I've done a little research on this Halloween, and from what I can tell in history, Halloween was a celebration of those who perished in the flood. It was almost a recognition that those poor folks who died in the flood, that God was so cruel to them. But it's a celebration of death. Everything we celebrate death, like you said, we are so callous. Death is an enemy. It's hateful. It's scary. And it's not scary for the reasons Christendom. Christendom thinks it's glorious, of course, unless you're part of their church. If you're part of their church, death is wonderful. It's like what Finney said at the top of the program. Death is precious because it's happy and very dear. Because when Christians die, they enter into eternal rest. What a load of nonsense. No wonder these people were in love with burning people at the stake. No wonder they were in love with this idea of threatening people and this excommunication stuff and warning them about the dangers of their eternal souls. Awful, Doctor.
Yep.
Awful.
Yep. Shun people, excommunicate people. This type of spirit, you know, is alive and well, and it all stems from false doctrine. I mean, I just wrote somebody today who wrote me with a terrible, hateful, shunning attitude, and my answer to him was, you know, your doctrine cannot help but inform your behavior. It explains your letter. You know, it goes back to Bloody Mary. If you believe that God's an eternal tormentor, if you celebrate the Ten Commandments chiseled in stone, then why should you behave any better than your deity? Why should you be anything but a lawkeeper and throw stones at other people, you know? It's like, man, it's infectious. It carries down. Again, you can't be any greater than your doctrine, than your teaching, than your conception of God.
You can't, and that's a great statement. You cannot, you only imitate your gods. And that's true in history. You know, if you look in the Greeks with all their city-states, each city-state was connected with the god. And they imitated that's why the Greeks were at war with each other, because the gods were at war with each other. They imitated their gods. So when you have those characteristic gods that are fighting and jealous, that's what man's going to be like. What he's going to be like.
Yeah, and it's also interesting that some of the more other religions in the world are much more peaceful than Christianism. I'm thinking of Buddhism. You know, some of those Buddhist monks, they'll take a broom and sweep the ground ahead of them for fear of stepping on an insect. I'm the same way. If I can avoid stepping on an ant, I'll do it. I just, God's given me a reverence for life. And it's interesting when you get to the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation, the Christian religion is destroyed first at the end of this eon. The Christian religion is the first one to be destroyed because it is the most evil religion, more evil even than Islam, although Islam's close, but it's definitely more evil than Buddhism. Because it's a peaceful religion compared to Christianity.
There's a line, I was reading a church history once, Philip Shaw said that more Christian blood has been shed by by Christians than pagans.
Yeah, wow, that's a telling statement. And Daniel
more
says when he describes...
blood was shed by Christians than pagans.
Yeah, Christians shoot their own wounded. It's the only organization that does that. Anybody else they don't agree with, they take out the machine gun and start strafing you.
That's what they did in communist Soviet Russia.
Oh, yeah,
World War
yeah.
II.
Yeah,
they'd have a line of soldiers,
yes.
And if anyone retreated, they'd kill them.
Yeah, and they would dig the mass graves, and you'd stand in front of the mass grave, and then they'd mow you down, and you'd fall in your own grave, and they'd take a... They take a earth mover and shove the dirt up on top of you. All in the name of Christ. In Daniel 7, I was going to say something about Daniel 7. The religion that's the animal that comes out of the sea, the four beasts that come out of the sea, I think the lioness is Buddhism, and anyway, it's given the heart of a man, the heart of a man. Buddhist is the most humane. Buddhism is the most humane religion of all four religions, and we say Christianity is going to get whacked at the end of this eon.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
First one to get rubbed out is going to be the Christian religion. I warn people about this. I've been sounding the alarms about this, that you need to get out of this religion, folks. This is not a game. This is not a game. God is going to cleanse the earth of false religions. There are four of them: Christianity, Islam, Buddhism, and Hinduism, and they're all going to go. So get out.
That's quite an admonition there. Quite an admonition.
Yeah, and I'm telling it to everybody everywhere I go. The one thing that's going, we're going to have to close, Dan. Our time's up already. I can't believe it. Time flies when I'm talking to you. We're facing a time, folks, of unprecedented calamity upon this earth. It's prophesied. Don't believe people that spiritualize it and tell you it's not going to happen. It is going to happen. And there's an ark being built right now, and that ark is called the Evangel of Grace, and it's found in the words of the Apostle Paul. Grab onto the truth of the Evangel of the Grace of God. Embrace it. Read the 13 letters of Paul, and you will be saved from the coming indignation. Those are not my words. Those are the words of Paul, as inspired by the Holy Spirit.